Blog Talk Radio.
Any other nations not wanting to be like us. And why should they want to
if we're not following the Most High the way we ought to, why would anybody else want to follow the Most High is the issue. And so we want to look at this from the standpoint of the bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, for the simple reason is that our people have always chased after the other nations. We're going to look at this from the Kings, and then we're going to look at it from Second Chronicles, and then we're going to bring it into the New Testament so that we can see that this is the issue. We grew up in a country. We were born into a country, even though it was not our country, and we would never be accepted in this country as equals. We tried to become like the people of the land, which the Most High told us not to do, but to, you know, maintain our heritage. And so they caused us to forget, really the Most High caused us to forget our heritage, who we are as a people, where we came from. And we had to accept what we were told concerning ourselves. But as He has been waking us up as a people, as to who we are and what He requires of us, He requires the same things of the other nations. And this is what Messiah is all about, bringing people, the world, back in line with the Most High. We were supposed to be the priesthood that did that. That was supposed to be our job, to bring the nations in line with the will of the Most High. Problem is, we wanted to follow everyone else. We wanted to serve their God. So we're going to look at this thing in a little bit more depth on this morning. And delve into this, because from the standpoint of the Most High and the standpoint of the Scriptures and the standpoint of what our job is supposed to be in this walk, we have to understand that we were always to be the example. We set a poor example as a people, and it got us scattered into all the nations of the world. And perhaps the Most High chose us because He knew we would do that, that we would not follow Him. Or He chose that, you know, that we would become a people that would not follow Him, so that He could scatter us into every nation of the world. That He would wake us up in the end days so that we could teach the true gospel, just as He used Joseph to put him in place through slavery, so that when it was time that He could help to deliver His people through the Most High. And in this case, I believe it's the world. But we have to pick up who we are as a people, and we have to let go of everything that is in this world, everything that is, you know, part of the nation that we are in, their habits, their doctrines, and we ourselves, in order to complete the mission that the Most High put us on, must take up with the mission that He gave us from the very beginning. So I want to show this morning what we have done as a people,
so that we
can know and not do it.
Is now in the conference.
So we can know and not do it. Okay, and we have been taught bad doctrine. We have been taught that we don't have to obey the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. We have been taught to worship other gods. All these things we have been taught through the diaspora. And, you know, and the reason was because of the hard-headedness and the stiff-neckedness of our forefathers to cause us to do this, to cause us to err. And we chose to follow after them. So we want to look at this on this morning because this is more so of a teaching, which I, you know, I'd rather teach than to preach anytime. And that we as a people must do this in order to be right with the Most High. He's not going to take all of us back. He has said He's only saving a remnant of us as a people, but it's going to be a remnant of all people compared to all the people that have ever lived on the earth. Who the Most High is saving is only a remnant of the Jews and the Gentiles. Now, that remnant is a great number, but not great when you consider how many people have ever lived on this earth. It's not a big number. And so it's like the Most High is looking for a certain type of crop, and the people are the crop. And he's looking for those who will follow him, whether it be Jew or Gentile. That's who he's looking for. We were to the world and teach them the ways of the Most High. And the Most High's desire was not that any should be lost, but that all men would come to him. But he knew that that wasn't going to be, that wasn't going to happen. And so, you know, he made provisions for all this. So we're going to look at, but we're going to look at it from a microcosm, the microcosm of Israel, Israel as a people, okay, because this is how he shows it to us. All right, with that being said, I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general. Wherever you may be, we greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, our master and our savior, our Elohim and our redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. As we go forth this morning, we will have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. And let us go before the Most High. Let us do our statement of faith. And I apologize to those last night who were at the end of the broadcast. You were cut off on last night. I apologize to you. You know, I told you that I've been having some computer problems. The server was not acting correctly. And I touched something and the server rebooted right at the end of the lesson. So we have, you know, rebooted the server and everything should be okay this morning. And I'm able to get into it because I didn't know if the server had been hacked, how it was acting or what have you. But it was just acting up and I just needed to reboot it. So sincere apologies. And hopefully we won't have any technical issues this morning. All right, that being said, let us go ahead and do our statement of faith. Let me pull it up in the room. And we'll go ahead and get into this lesson. We've got a lot of scripture to cover this morning. And as I said, we're going to do it from the standpoint of Israel. And how Israel is a microcosm of the world. And our job, what our job was to do was to teach the world and introduce the world to the Most High and bring the world into the standards of the Most High. But we're going to look and see what in fact happens. So we know that we cannot be like the world and we cannot be like any country that we're in. We can't follow their traditions. He gave us the clue last night. Okay, so that being said, let us turn toward the east, holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand couple praise on this morning. Hallelujah. We just glorify you and we thank you and we lift you up. We extol thee, O Yah Elohim. We extol thee, Father.
Thank you, Father.
We lift you up. And we thank you, Father, for all that you do for us and all that you're going to do, Father. And we thank you for your manifold blessings. We thank you for the gift of salvation. Hallelujah. We thank you for redeeming us, Father, and giving us a mind to worship and to serve you and to serve you alone. For you alone are Elohim, Father. And we just thank you on this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, O Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Father. Glory, 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 glory to your name. All glory and majesty and honor belong to you, O Yah Elohim, and to you alone. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins, that you forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, we come before you on this morning, Father, seeking your truth and seeking your words. Father, be with us in this particular lesson, Father, and let Brother Miles decrease and let you increase. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar.
You are famous for I believe in you. Release your love inside of me. Unleash your power for all to see. Spirit, come and fall on us. Over and over.
Oh, my need be yours.
Amen, amen, amen. Let us kick this off. Let's go revisit the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12. Deuteronomy, chapter 12. But before we start, let me say this. I want to remind everybody of the new moon service on Monday. I believe Monday is the 19th. Yeah, Monday night, we will have the new moon service, which is celebrating the beginning of month, as God told us to keep it, that we should celebrate it. So we will be doing that this coming up Monday evening, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. So we pray everybody is able to attend and be there. All right, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, and verse...
Excuse me,
Yes, ma'am.
You get an echo.
I got an echo?
Yes.
Okay, that's muted. Do you still hear an echo?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on a second. Let me make sure I don't have any other windows open. There. Okay, I don't see where that would be coming from. Sister Mary.
Sister Denise, you got the Bluetooth on?
Yeah, that's it.
That's coming back to you, sir.
Yep. Oh, okay.
All right, so go ahead and turn your Bluetooth off, my sister, and we'll proceed. Proceed. You still hearing the echo?
No.
All right, amen. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 30. Take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them. He's talking about the nations that he's going to kick out of the land. So as the Most High is bringing Israel into the land, he's not killing off all the people that are there. Because there's, you know, how can you follow them if they've all been killed? Okay. So then take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them. After that, they be destroyed from before thee. Now, when the Most High is talking about somebody being destroyed, it doesn't mean that every one of them were killed. It means that they have no more power. They have no more authority. They're not running or controlling that area. That don't mean that some of their people aren't still left. And so he's saying, don't go ask them. Don't inquire, not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. So don't go ask them about, you know, the name of their gods. Don't ask them how they serve their gods. Because you might hear it and think that it's something that you ought to be doing to the Most High. He said, don't do it. So it's with that in mind, because this is Israel been our forefathers' problem. And when we were scattered into all the nations of the world, and we forgot our heritage, we forgot who we were as a people, someone else assumed our identity, we were told that we were only slaves. So that after two or three generations have gone by, you can tell the children anything, the children of those people, because the history over time would be lost. And so we forgot our heritage. We forgot who we were as a people. And this was by design by the people who took us slaves, but it was also the will of the Most High that we should forget it. Don't even tell nobody you were my people because you were disobedient. Okay, but then he said he would wake us up and that he would deliver us out of those lands. And so we see that happening even today. How long that's going to take? I don't know. Perhaps the Most High will reveal it. Yeah, I believe it's going to go all the way through till Messiah returns. Perhaps he won't. But I want to go into the book of the kings. And we're going to look at the northern kingdom. And because, truth be told, we say that we are Judah. And, you know, Judah and the other tribes were scattered in the diaspora. The northern tribes, the northern kingdom, was scattered way before then. Okay? And actually, they were cut off. The Most High cut them off. Everybody that he had taken into Assyria, he says, when I'll cut you off from your people, he means that you no longer belong to me. So it doesn't really matter where they went and what happened to them. And so they became a cut-off people. They were no longer Israel. They were Hebrews, but they were no longer Israel, and they were no longer the people of the Most High. The Most High took a remnant of them and called them Israel. And we're going to look at that because they, along with Judah, got scattered into the far corners of the earth. But what did we do? And that's what we want to look at, because I still see it in the world today, 16 and probably 18 on this morning. And I want us to have a clear understanding and a clear background of what went on, so that we know we're not cherry picking scripture. We're going to look and see what these people did and how the Most High dealt with them. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah. Now we're dealing with the kings of Judah, but he's also going to tell you who the king in the king in Israel was at the time, and the king of Judah. And in order to follow the story, you have to understand the orders of the kings. The kings in the northern kingdom and the kings in the southern kingdom. So you had kings of Israel and you had kings of Judah. Okay? And the kings give the story of that, and the chronicles chronologize what those kings did. Okay? And so in order to understand the story, you have to be familiar with the kings of both kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. So we're dealing with the southern kingdom right now, and we're dealing with Ahaz. And began Oshea, son of Elah, to reign in Samaria. So it's telling you that in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign Oshea, son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. Now, this is not all of Israel. This is the northern kingdom. Israel, in this case, and Samaria are the northern kingdom, because the Most High split Israel into two kingdoms. And he gave this general, Jeroboam, 10 tribes. And he gave David, Solomon's son, gave him one tribe. The Levites never belonged and were to be numbered among the children of Israel. The Levites didn't have an inheritance in the land. So you could account for, if you didn't know how it went, you could account for 11 tribes. 10 went to the north. The Most High left the tribe of Judah in the south, but also the Levites in Jerusalem. Okay, and that made up all 12 tribes. And he did that which was evil. So Hosea did that which was evil in the sight of Yah, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. He wasn't the first king of the north. All of the kings of the north did wickedly. They did not do good because they followed after Jeroboam. Jeroboam brought back to the northern tribes calf worship from Egypt. And we know when the children of Israel came out of Egypt the first time and they rebelled against the Most High, they told Aaron, build us a god, and he built them a golden calf. So this is not new, but you can go through the scriptures, and if you read them carefully, you can find out that the calf, a bull, was a deity in Egypt, and they worshipped it. And so the children of Israel bought this calf worship out of Egypt with them. Aaron built one. They hadn't been gone out of Egypt 2 or 3 months. And the people start crying, give us a god, make us a god. So they made this calf. Jeroboam, when the Most High said, I'm going to give you the 10 tribes, Solomon and Solomon's son came after him. He fled into Egypt to escape them. Solomon died. Jeroboam came back, because the Most High said that he would not rip the kingdom from Solomon for David's sake. But he said he would rent the kingdom or rip the kingdom from Solomon's son, Rehoboam. And so that has happened, and the kingdom has been split. Now we see reigned in Samaria. Samaria was the capital of the northern kingdom. It's like Jerusalem is the capital of Judah. The kingdom of Judah, Jerusalem was the capital. In the northern kingdom, Samaria was the capital, the city of Samaria. So it says he reigned in the city of Samaria over Israel 9 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Yah, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. So Hoshea has been conquered. And year by year, he was sending presents to the king of Assyria and to the king of Egypt. So, well, let's read this. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So. So is a name here, king of Egypt, and brought no presents to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore, the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. And the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land which went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. So he surrounded the city of Samaria. That is the stronghold of Hoshea. You take the capital, you take the country. It's like in chess, checkmate. You take the king, you win the game. Okay? So he has Samaria under siege. And he's got it under siege for 3 years. And in the 9th year, Hoshea, king of Assyria, took Samaria. Now he's taken Samaria, the country has fallen, and carried Israel away into Assyria. So he carried almost everybody away. Now the way this is written in the scriptures, you might think that everybody was taken away, and there was nobody left. But when we go into the Chronicles, you're going to read that some people escaped. Some of the Israelites in the northern kingdom escaped this siege and escaped being captured, okay? And the ones that escaped, that's who the Most High said was now Israel. All the ones that got sent away, they were cut off. They were no longer Israel. And the Most High said, you know, well, we'll get into that another time, but I would bring them back. But their own brothers caused them not to be brought back, okay? So the northern kingdom is taken away, and it tells us that carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah, in Harp, and Habar, by the river Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. Now this is the way the Assyrians did business. They conquer you, and then they move your people into a land that's not theirs. So they're not left in the land trying to fight for the land. They're not trying to fight occupation because they're now in their, not even in their own country. So why are you going to be fighting against us? You're trying to return to your own country? Your own country, now I move some other people into your land. So this is what the Assyrians did. They would conquer you and move you out of your land into a land they had already conquered, and then move other people from the other lands they had conquered into your land. And this is how people got all switched up. This is how certain people end up in an area. And after a while, they believe that they've always been in that area if they don't maintain their history. So this is what happens in Israel at this time. The northern kingdom is captured. The people are moved out. But there are a remnant of the people that remain. Okay? In the 9th year of Hoshea, king of Assyria, took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah, in Habar, by the river Gozan, in the cities of the Medes. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against Yah their Elohim, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other Elohim. Underline that. They feared other Elohim. Most I told Israel, you don't fear any other God. That means that you fear somebody more than you fear him. And he always says to fear him. They're fearing other gods more than they fear him. And he walked in the statutes, and they and walked in the statutes, the laws of the heathen, whom Yah cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. So they walked in the laws of the heathen, and they walked in their own laws, not the laws of the Most High. Read that again. And walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom Yah cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel, which they made. The kings of Israel made their own laws, contrary to the laws of the Most High. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against Yah, their Elohim. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. Now remember, the Most High told Israel, going into the promised land, cast down every high place, cast down their altars, destroy their ashrams, tear down their idols, everything of these other gods, of these other nations, how they serve their gods, destroy it. Here, what they have done is they actually adopted it. Everything that the Most High told them not to do, they did. And they built them high places. Now, underline that high place in all their cities. Because when we come into the new places, when we come into the New Testament, we're going to read some scripture that Messiah, we're going to read a conversation that Messiah had with this one woman. Okay? And it's very telling if you understand and if you're familiar with the scriptures. It's very telling. Okay? From the tower of the watchman to the fence city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom Yah carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke Yah to anger. So he told them, don't do as the people do. In Deuteronomy 12, verse 30, we were told, be sure, make sure that you are not taken captive by what they do. Make sure you don't do what they do. Don't inquire after their gods, what their gods' names are. Don't inquire how they worship their gods. But this is what the northern kingdom has done. They're burning incense in the high places to these gods of the nations. And when you see heathen there, any nation or any person that doesn't worship and serve the Most High. If you are serving another god, you are a heathen, as far as the Most High is concerned. Okay, so this word heathen, that, you know, the Christians use this and call the Indians heathen. They call the Africans heathen. They called us heathen. Because they said they were worshiping the God of the Bible, but it comes to find out they really weren't. Okay. Whom Yah carried away before them and did wicked things to provoke Yah to anger. For they served idols. You should not have any God before me. Wherefore Yah has said unto them, you shall not do this thing. I told you don't do this, but they did it. Yet Yah testified against Israel and against Judah. Now, testimony against Israel is that they worship other gods. And they did it up under every green tree, on top of every hill, every mountain. They worship other gods. Judah did work. I forget where I read that at. I think it's in Isaiah. Judah did worse than the northern kingdom. Okay. And by all, Yah testified against Israel and against Judah, by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn you from your evil ways. Yah was always telling our forefathers, turn from your evil ways. Keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I command your fathers, which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Standing, they would not hear. Israel would not hear, but hardened their neck, like the neck of their fathers, and did not believe in Yah their Elohim. So they did the opposite. They got stiff-necked. We ain't doing that. We're going to do what we want to do. And we're going to follow after these heathens because what they're doing is more appealing to us. They can marry however many women they want. They can have sex with however many women they want. They can do whatever they want according to their God. And that appealed to them. And that's what they did. And they rejected his statute and his covenant that he made with their father and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity. And because and became vain. Now vanity, this word vanity means worthlessness, nothing. It means worthless thing that's not going to add anything to you. So when you practice vanity, when you become vain, you are in the practice of doing things for nothing. That's what it means. They followed vanity and became vain. Because they followed worthlessness, they became worthless in the eyes of the Most High. And remember, this is all coming from the eyes of the Most High. You are worthless to me. You have become vain, worthless, because you follow worthless things. You follow gods that don't exist, that can't talk, can't intervene on your behalf. And you're following these things. And so you are now vain. And your actions and everything you do are worthless. And he went after the heathen. Underline that. They became vain and went after the heathen to follow after the heathen, their way, that they were round about them, concerning whom Yah had charged them, that they should not do like them. Now, we're looking at this from the history because we are still doing those things today. We're still doing those things today and maybe may not know it. Some of us do and some of us don't know that we are following after the gods of the heathen. And they left all the commandments of Yah their Elohim. You ain't got to follow the law. You ain't got to keep the commandments like that. That's what the church is teaching today. You're not up under the law. You don't have to follow it. That was for those Hebrews. Okay? But the scripture never says it from that light. That is the way they have chosen to interpret it. And they left all the commandments of Yah, their Elohim, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshiped all the hosts of heaven, and served Baal. Now, the reason why I'm against the word Lord, and you find me trying to avoid it at all costs, when you translate Baal into English, it's Lord. And so when they change the title and the name of the Most High to Lord in the English, when you change it back in the Hebrew, it's Baal. And Baal was a god that the Most High hated. He said, because the children of Israel followed after this deity. They let us change the name. Let us remove the name of the Most High from the scripture and change it to a name that translates in the English to Lord. But in the Hebrew, that same name is Baal. So I try to stay away from that because it, to me, it is wickedness. It is evil. They got you following and calling on another deity. When you say Lord, oh, that's the title. No, it's not. In the Hebrew, that's an actual name of a deity. A false one. That's the Most I hate. And in the English, calling on this God. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and used divination and enchantment and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of Yah to provoke him, Yah, to anger. Therefore, Yah was very angry with Israel. So you see in your Bible that says Lord there. And anywhere you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the name of the Most High was actually there. When you see the Lord, the, capital L, lowercase O-R-D, or capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The name of the Most High was there. They replaced it with the name of this deity, Baal. Therefore, Yah was very angry with Israel, verse 18, and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. Now, we read this, we believe that everybody was taken away and that there was literally none left. There was not enough to consider. They had no power. They became more than just occupied. And so we're going to read this. We're going to go to the Chronicles and read this. But I want us to make note as to what these people do that are replaced in the land, that are put into Samaria. Also, Judah kept not the commandments of Yah, their Elohim. Israel didn't do it, and Judah didn't do it, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. He just told us that the kings of Israel made their own law. What did Judah do? Follow those laws. Now, Judah is the kingship. The kingship should have been making the law, but they followed after the law of the northern kingdom. They followed after the laws of Jeroboam and the kings after him. See? Because the true kingship was in the south. But they followed after the laws of the northern kings. And the northern kings were worshiping gods that were not the Most High. The northern kingdom, this was stacked up. The northern kingdom created its own priesthood. You got the priesthood in the south that is the true priesthood. But from what I'm hearing, the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, kingship and the priesthood followed the north. That's crazy. South. But they chose to follow the kings of the north and the priesthood of the north. And Solomon actually started a lot of this. Because Solomon himself put altars for other gods into the house that he built for the Most High. Imagine that. You build a house for the Most High, and then you yourself go and put altars for other deities, other gods, into the Most High's house. And again, also Judah kept not the commandments of Yah their Elohim, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which he made. And Yah rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of the spoilers until he cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David. He tore Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the king. And Jeroboam drave Israel from following Yah. Jeroboam went to, you know, he, as I said, he ran into Egypt trying to escape Solomon and his son. And when he came back, when Solomon died and he came back, he brought calf worship from Egypt with him. That's why he said they made them two calves. Those calves were a god of Egypt. Okay? Jeroboam brought this back, and he caused Israel to stop following Yah, the northern kingdom, and made them sin a great sin. Y'all going to go to these two cells, and I believe a city called Gad. Be corrected on that city, the second one. And he put two altars up and a calf at each altar. He said, now rather than you going to Jerusalem to worship the Most High where he has placed his name at, in Jerusalem, in the temple in Jerusalem, you're going to stay up here and you're going to do your all of your sacrifices and your vows and everything on these two altars. And the Most High had not sanctified those altars. Most had not placed his name on those altars. So they were sacrificing unto devils. unto Egyptian gods. And that caused them to sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them. Until Yah removed Israel out of his sight, as he said, by all his servants the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria, day, unto the day that they were, that this was written, but even unto this day. And so people are trying to track down the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You don't have to track them down. We know where they're in every nation today, but not those people out of this chapter. The one that he removed into Assyria, they were cut off. Whack, you're no longer my people. I'm no longer concerned with you. Now, we're going to go into Chronicles and read in a few why this happened. But the gist of this lesson is they followed the gods of other nations. They did and picked up the traditions of the other nations. They served the gods of the other nations. And when you're born into that, then that's all you know. And you believe that you're serving the true and living Elohim when you observe this holy day and that holy day, this holiday and that holiday. When you pick up their traditions, the little bitty things that they do with each holiday, it was a tribute to that deity. Oh, it don't mean that. We're just doing this. No, you are worshiping another deity and you don't know it because you have followed after the heathen to do what they do. He said, be careful that you be not snared by them, by following them. We want to be a bride without spot and without blemish. You can say, okay, I'm not stealing, I'm not fornicating, I'm not committing adultery, I'm honoring my father and my mother. I'm doing all these things and just in the observance of the holidays that you have been brought up to observe, you are worshiping other gods. So let's keep looking at this. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon. Now look and see what he did. The king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Qatar and from Havah and from Hamath. See, these people in Hamath who say they are Palestinians, they are from another land. Israel was never their land until they were transplanted by the king of Assyria. Now they claim that they've been in this land forever. And that the Jews that went there and took back this land or took over this land, that they had always been in this land, but they weren't. They were transplants. The Bible tells, gives us all the details. From Hamath and from Sepharvaim, placed them in the cities of Samaria. These were other countries. And the people from Hamath, the so-called Palestinians, had their own land someplace else. They were transplanted into this land. And now they're over there fighting with the people who say that they are the Jews, who are not. You got two people fighting over a land that was never theirs. Okay, understand that. It was never theirs. And placed them in cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. So you got all these people from these other lands transported and transferred into the land of Israel, what the Most High named Israel. And today, they're still in that land claiming it to be their land. But they are transplanted. They were transplanted by the king of Assyria. And it was so at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not Yah. So at the beginning of these transplants dwelling in the land, because they were transplanted there by the king of Assyria, that they feared not Yah. They didn't even know Yah. Had never heard of him. Therefore, Yah sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore, they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the Elohim of the land. We don't know how the God of this land, what he expects, but he's telling us. Therefore, he has sent lions among them. And behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner, the way of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry there one of the priests, underline priests. This is not a Levite. This is a poor person that Jeroboam made a priest. I'm going to make you the priest of my altar. Okay, the ones that I created that worship the calf. This is who the king of Assyria sent for. Not a Levitical priest, the one that knows the Most High. The Hebrews knew to fear the Most High, but they didn't know all the law. They didn't have communication with the Most High. They didn't have the Urim and the Thummim that the Most High used to talk to the priests through. So they taught them one thing, whom you brought from him, and let them go and dwell there, and let them teach them the manner of the Elohim of the land. Remember, this priesthood is not worshiping the Most High Elohim. They're worshiping other gods. And that a high priest for other gods. But they still know a little bit about Yah, even though they're not teaching people to follow him. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, dwelt in the house of God. That's what Bethel means. And taught them how they should fear Yah. You want to know about the God of the land? This is who he is, and you need to fear him. Even though they weren't doing it. Howbeit, every nation made gods, underline that, howbeit, every nation that had been transplanted into that land made gods of their own and put them in the house and put them in the high places which the Samaritans made. Remember, our forefathers, or those people who were in that land of the northern kingdom of the 10 tribes, they built the high places. These people that were transplanted there didn't build the high places. The people who were already in the land taught Israel. Israel follows them to make their altars in the high place. Make them up under every green tree. Make them in every valley, on top of every little hill. But the people who were transported into the land, they didn't build these high places. The children of Israel had already done it for them as part of their worship. And these people came in and adopted the same thing. Howbeit, every nation made gods of their own and put them in the house of the high places, which the Samaritans. The Samaritans were the children of Israel. Who they were, had made. When you read in the New Testament, you read Samaritans. And the woman of Samaria, we automatically want to go to in our mind that, oh, these are people of another nation. Could be. But they could also be Israelites or Hebrews. So I'm going to show you this because you got to understand what the Bible does. It's no longer referencing them as Israel now. It referenced them as Samaritans. But these are the children of Israel that were taken away. Some of them escaped. And we're going to go read that. This is not the people that were transferred into the land by the king of Assyria. They didn't build those places. Or relatives of our forefathers built those places. Understand what the Bible is telling you. Every nation in their cities wherein they dwell. So if the children of Hamath, whatever cities they went into, they built, they made God, their own God. They worshiped their own God in the high places left by the Israelites. If they were from whatever city they were talking about up there, wherever they were transferred from, they were start worshiping their own God in the high places that the Israelites had left, from worshiping their own God, their God, worshiping everybody but the Most High. And the men of Babylon made Sukhut-Banot, and the men of Tuth made Nargal, and the men of Hamath made Ashma, and the Havites made Nebahaz and Tartah, and the Savarvites burnt their children in the fire to Adrimmelech and Andrimmelech, the gods of the Savarvites. So they feared Yah and made unto themselves the lowest of them priests of the high places. They did exactly what Jeroboam had done. Jeroboam took the lowest of the people and made them priests because they were of low status and they didn't really have anything going for them. Oh, you made us a priest. Now we got status. We are going to worship this God or these gods with our whole heart because it gave them status. It made the people have to come to them when they were once poor. Now they're the priesthood, worshiping these other gods. So let's read this again. Verse 32. So they feared Yah. You got people today talking about they fear Yah and still worshiping other gods. Nothing new up under the sun. Fearing the Most High and trying to tie him to their holidays and worshiping other deities, worshiping the God of Christmas, that is not the Most High, worshiping the God of Halloween, the God of Thanksgiving, the God of the 4th of July. Because people don't understand that even the 4th of July has a deity tied to it. Her name is called Columbia. You call her the Statue of Liberty. And celebrate the 4th of July, which honors the goddess Columbia, which is the god of this nation. The Statue of Liberty is on top of the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., over the Capitol. They're praying to Jesus under Columbia. You see how twisted this stuff is and how you can be made to worship a deity that is not yours. See how you can fear Yah, say you fear Yah, and still worship other gods? And unless somebody unwinds this thing for you and you are open to hear it, you will continue to do it because there are people who love Christmas. They love the ideal of giving presents and decorating and doing all these things, not understanding that there's a deity behind that. And the Most High specifically forbid us to do it. Because when you're showing admiration, giving admiration to that tree and to those decorations, the giving of gifts and all those things, don't you know that that's a form of worship? Well, I'm not bowing that it's a form of worship. The Most High says, you're going to admire me and me only. You're going to praise me and me only. Why are you praising that tree that can't stand up on its own? You got to nail it up for it to stand up. It don't talk. It don't move. And you're in ooh and ah and all this. But it was based upon the worship of a deity from Europe. And so they said, oh, we're just going to do it on a holiday called Christmas. Let's include Christ in it. And say we're worshiping the Most High. No, you're worshiping another deity. So this is what these people back here were doing. They feared Yah. And the people today don't even know to fear Yah. And made themselves of the Lord some priests of the high place, which sacrificed for them in the house of the high places. They fear Yah and serve their God. Fear Yah and serve their own God, after the manners of the nations whom they carried away from them. Unto this day do they after the former manner. They fear not Yah, neither do they after their statutes, or after their ordinance, or after the law and commandments which Yah commanded the children of Jacob, whom they named Israel, with whom Yah had made a covenant, and charged them, saying, you shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourself to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. When you bring a present and you put it up under the Christmas tree, you say you're buying it for somebody else, but you don't realize you're bringing a gift to this other deity. Think about these things. When you're putting on those Halloween costumes and you're saying, oh, we're pretending to be this, we're pretending to be that, there's a deity behind that. So understand these things. And we're going to do the lesson on paganism. Every holiday that the Most High did not give has a God behind it, or a goddess. That is not the Most High. Valentine's Day. All of them have a deity behind them. So you say and you fear Yah, but if you keep any of those holy days, you're worshiping another God. You just don't know you are. But Yah, who brought you out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, him shall you fear, and him shall you worship, and to him shall you do sacrifice. And the statutes and the ordinance and the law and the commandments which he wrote for you, you shall observe to do them evermore, forever, and you shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I have made with you shall you not forget, neither shall you fear other gods. For Yah your Elohim shall not fear. For Yah your Elohim you shall fear. And he shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. Reason why we're still in this land today? Because most of our people don't fear the Most High. Even when we call ourselves Hebrew Israelites, the vast majority of us are not fearing him. Feared him, we wouldn't walk in transgression to him. We wouldn't be worshiping other holidays. We wouldn't be holding on to these things in the world. The vast majority of our people in the churches don't even know who they are. And they're still worshiping a false Jesus. When I say by a false Jesus, Messiah existed. He lived and he came and did what he did for us. But they worship him in falseness. They don't keep his commandments. We ain't got to. He said, just love God and love your neighbor. No, there were some other laws too. He said, if you do those two things and if you understand the concept, then all the law is summarized in love the Most High with all your heart, all your soul, all your being, with all your power, and love your neighbor as yourself. That summarizes the whole law. That's a summary of it. But they don't want none of the details. None of the details. We'll just make up the other part ourselves. Well, we know it's written somewhere, but we'll do what we want to do. We'll do like the kings of Israel did. They made their own law. We worried about the laws of the land and what's going to happen to us if we break the laws of the land. This is what the children of Israel that were taken away did. The kings made their own laws and followed them and not the laws of the Most High. That was the problem. We are still doing it today and fearing the laws of the land because we're in their land, worshiping the gods of the land, tying it to the Most High, and the Most High say, oh, no, you're not going to do that. You don't worship another god and then say you're worshiping me. Even got us calling on him by the name of another deity. I've written it in the book, Lord, Baal. Replace his name with the name of another deity and people calling on it left and right. But you won't notice unless you go back and forth between the English and the Hebrew. Oh, wait a minute. Baal means is Lord. Why the heck would they ever tell us to call Yah, Lord, Baal? But Yah has to reveal that to you. But Yah, your Elohim, shall you fear. He shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. Howbeit, they did not listen, but they did that after their former manner. So these nations feared Yah and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so did they unto this day. Oh, that you be not ensnared by them. To inquire after the names of their God and how they serve their God. At least you think it's right to serve Yah the same way. And Yah says, I have already determined that the way that these nations serve their God is an abomination to me. So how do you come out of spot and wrinkles? How do you remove your spots and your wrinkles and any other such thing that is contrary to the Most following after the nations and their gods, which he told you not to do? You know, Valentine's coming up. You know, Easter is coming up. You know, Thanksgiving is coming up. You know, Christmas is coming, Halloween. Got to get ready for those things and be up in church on Sunday. The church even got decorations up for those holidays. We got the name of the Most High, got the name of Christ on the inside, on the outside in some of their names, saying that they fear Yah, but they're serving other graven images. The cross, the statue of Messiah that didn't ever look anything like him, looks like them. Got their children doing it, and their children's children doing it. That's the thing. When you are born into it, and nobody ever tells you that, hey, what you're doing is not right, you believe that it's right. And you learn to love it because you believe that you're worshiping the Most High Elohim. When you are actually worshiping another deity. When you say you fear Yah, but you serve the Elohims of your father. See, one of the things that the Catholic Church did was allowed all of these heathen, pagan people that they converted to bring part of their religion into Catholicism. because Catholicism was all about control. We are not going to teach them how to read the Bible. We are not going to teach them how to read the language of the Bible. Simply going to tell them what we want them to hear, that we might control them. All the churches have done that because they maintain some aspect of Catholicism when they protested and split off from Catholicism. So they protested what the church, the Catholic Church was doing, but then they kept the Catholic Church Sabbath. They kept a lot of the rules of the Catholic Church, built on top of a graveyard. They buried the dead up under the church. What the hell? The Most High says his priesthood wasn't even supposed to be associated with anything dead. You gonna build the church on top of a graveyard? So the people are saying they fear the Most High. They're using the name of the Most High. They're being baptized in his name, and they're doing things to serve other deities, just as it was from the beginning. So do they unto this day. And you got people that just don't want to let it go. They refuse to let it go. You can't tell me that I'm doing wrong. Second Chronicles. The book of Second Chronicles, chapter 30. Before I go there, let me see some chapter 18. Okay. I want you to go to 2 Kings chapter 18 only in because I told you you need to understand the history of the kings in order to understand the Chronicles. Okay? You need to understand who was ruling and when. Then you can get a timeline of what's going on. So we're going to go to 2 Kings, chapter 18. We're just going to get one verse, okay? I might have kicked everybody out of that room. There was one or two, now there's nobody. I was trying to list, see who was connected. Oh, well. Chapter 18, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah. Remember, Hoshea is the king in the northern kingdom. He has been taken captive by the king of Assyria. Now they're going to tell you from his position who's now coming to power in the southern kingdom. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel. So Hoshea was replaced by, no, Hoshea is still in power. He was the son of the king of Israel, Elah. That Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. So we're changing from Ahaz, king of Judah, to Hezekiah. And so now we got to look at his reign. And he reigned 25, he was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zachari. And he did that which was right in the sight of Yah, according to all that David his father did. So Hezekiah did right. But he's now the king in Judah. Okay? And Hoshea is still king in the northern kingdom. Now let's go to Second Chronicles, chapter 30. Start in verse 1. So in 2 Kings chapter 18, we see that Hezekiah has become king of Judah. We pick it up in Chronicles chapter 30. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and to Judah. But wait a minute. Israel doesn't exist or is about not to exist. Okay? And wrote letters also to Ephraim and to Manasseh. Now we're going to see who is left in Israel to be called all Israel. Who did Hezekiah write to? Because remember, Hoshea was king. Shalmaneser came and took Hoshea away and took all of Israel away. So who is Hezekiah writing to? To all Israel and to Judah. And wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of Yah at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto Yah, Elohim of Israel. For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. Now we know, if we study, that the second month is a makeup Passover. There's a Passover in the first month. And if you miss the Passover of the first month, then you could come to the Passover of the second month. So Hezekiah is saying, y'all come to the Passover in the second month. This is the makeup Passover. If you were unclean for the first Passover, you couldn't attend Passover. You had to wait till you were clean in the Passover in the second month to make up Passover. For they could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. They could not keep the first Passover because the priests were not sanctified. Neither had the people gathered themselves together at Jerusalem. So the people weren't even coming to keep the Passover. And Hezekiah says, hey, y'all come, I'm going to call the makeup Passover, the Passover in the second month. I'm going to have the priesthood to sanctify themselves in as much as they can sanctify themselves. Because Hezekiah's going to have to say a prayer over them. Because they still hadn't become sanctified to the point that they needed to be. And neither were the people coming to Jerusalem like they were commanded to. He's telling you what's going on here. For they could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. Neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. Yeah, let's keep the Passover in the second month. Let's honor the Most High and keep his feast day like we're supposed to. So they established a decree and made a proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto Yah Elohim of Israel at Jerusalem, not at Beersheba and Dan are the two altars that Jeroboam had created. Y'all stop going to those false altars and come and keep the Passover in Jerusalem. For they had not done it of a long time in such sort, in such a way as it was written. They're not following the laws of the Most High. They're not keeping his Passover. This is in the southern kingdom, Judah. So the post went out, went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah. And according to the commandment of the king, saying, you children of Israel. Now listen to this. He's going to tell you who the children of Israel are considered. You children of Israel, turn again unto Yah Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return unto the remainder, the remnant of you, the remainder of you, who that are escaped out of the hands of the kings of Assyria. That is who all Israel was considered to be, the remnant, those that escaped. You are Israel. This is who Hezekiah is writing to. To the ones that escaped out of the hand, Syria. And be not like your father, and like their brethren, which trespassed against Yah Elohim of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation. As you see, desolation means that you are no longer there in the land. You're not, you are few in number. You no longer have any political power. You have no military might. You have no economic power. Nothing that will make you a nation that you can stand on your own. The Most High has taken it from you. You are literally just occupying this land. So he says, it is desolate of you. Now, be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto Yah and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever. And serve Yah your Elohim, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. Y'all come and keep the Passover as it has been written. Stop going to those two false altars. Keep the Passover. Because we ain't done it in a long time like it's supposed to be, and you haven't done it in a long time as it's supposed to be done. For if you turn again unto Yah, now hear this, and see who caused the children of Israel that were taken away, see who caused them to remain cut off. For if you turn again unto Yah, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that led them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For Yah your Elohim is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return to him. So this is what he put in the letter. Hey, y'all done made the Most High mad. He didn't cause y'all to be taken away. If you repent and return to him, Yah will cause all those people that he had taken away to be brought back into the land. He will have compassion. He will have mercy. So the post passed from city to city, through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. But they laughed them to scorn. They got the letters and laughed at, we ain't coming to the Passover. We're not returning to the Most High. And mocked them. So the children of Israel, those that have been sent out, never came back into the land. And the people been looking for them as the lost sheep of the house of Israel all over the world. And the Most High says, no, I cut them off. And I told your forefathers, if they returned to me, I would bring them back into the land. I would have compassion. And I would cause the people where they were taken to have compassion on them. But y'all laughed at this edict. Y'all laughed at this offer to you. You mocked it. And we know that the children of Israel never returned into that land. They remained cut off. Now, the ones who the Most High considered to be Israel were the few that escaped. And they returned into their own cities in Samaria, in the city of Samaria. They returned into their own cities in Israel. The remnant, they returned to their own homes. And they lived amongst the transplants. The people who from Hamath and Kutta and Sevarvan and whatever other cities they were transferred from into the land, they lived among them because they moved into their city. And the Assyrians changed the name of the whole land from Israel to Samaria after the capital of the northern kingdom. The capital of the northern kingdom was Samaria. The Assyrians say, now this land is known as Samaria. The whole land. not no longer known as Israel. It's known as Samaria. And because our people don't follow this stuff through the scriptures, and they don't know that some of our people escaped, and they were living in the city of Samaria, because it's been conquered. And the Assyrians said, now, this whole region is known as Samaria, and no longer Israel. So these are the children of Israel, those that escaped from the kings of Samaria, the kings of Assyria. Now let's go to John chapter 4, because I'm not going to go all the way down through this. This is enough to show you that from the king, that the children of Israel were taken away. I told you where they were taken away to. Now we see that there is a remnant that escaped. We read in Kings chapter 18, 17, that the Assyrians transplanted some people into the cities of Israel from different nations. And we find out that these people that were transplanted in were taught to fear Yah, but they served their own God on the altars that the Israelites had made. The children of the northern kingdom that were taken away. The children, but there are some children of Israel that escaped. They escaped. Go to John chapter 4. The book of John chapter 4. Just let's see what Messiah does. He said, I come not but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who I'm here for. John chapter 4, starting in verse 1. When therefore Yah knew how the Pharisees had heard that Yeshua made and baptized more disciples than John, though Yeshua himself baptized not, but his disciples. Messiah baptized his disciples baptized everybody else. Messiah only baptized his disciples. People try to interpret this verse that Messiah baptized nobody, only his disciples baptized people. No, Messiah, they had to be baptized in his name, just like everybody's got to be baptized into his name to get into the kingdom. So if you get being jumped into the group, don't you think Messiah would have baptized his own disciples in his name, sub Judea, and departed again into Galilee? And he must need to go through Samaria. I got to go through Samaria. I told the disciples, don't go into Samaria. Y'all go into all of Judea. Preach the gospel. But I sent 70 others out everywhere that I'm going to go. I sent them out to go into every city that I was going to go into. They went into the cities of Samaria. They went everywhere where Messiah was to go before he went. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. So they're in the northern kingdom. Samaria is the old kingdom of Israel. But it's now called Samaria instead of Israel. And he comes into a city of Samaria, which would have been a city of the old kingdom, called Sychar, near Jacob's well. Now, Jacob's well was there. Yeshua, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, about noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria. This is how they're known in this time. Doesn't say what ethnicity she is. Remember, there were many nations moved into this area by the king of Assyria. Now look and see who this woman says that she is. My brothers and sisters want to teach us that this is one of those transplants from Assyria. That's not her testimony. And that's not who Messiah said that she was. Then if she was of the Assyrians, of these transplants, the Messiah would not have given her the gospel. But see what he said. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Yeshua said unto her, give me to drink. Give me some of that water. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Said unto her, if you knew it, if thou knewest the gift of Elohim, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. What did he say to the Canaanite woman that asked him to heal her daughter? He said, the children's meat is not meant for the dog. He's telling this woman, if you knew who I was, you would be asking me to give you a drink. There's a difference between these two women. This woman of Samaria, the Most High, Messiah, does not consider her to be a Gentile. He don't consider her to be a Gentile. He didn't tell the woman of Canaan, hey, if you knew who I was, you would be asking me something else. Get away from me. He begged and he conceded to her. But this woman is different. This conversation is different. The woman says unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. You ain't got no rope and no bucket. From where then hast thou this living water? Where are you going to give me some water from? You ain't got a pail. You ain't got a rope. This well is deep. Art thou greater? Now look who she says our father is. Are you greater than our father Jacob? So because men cannot rationalize this, they say, oh, seed of Israel. She's been taught to say that she is the seed of Jacob. She's an Assyrian, or she's one of these transplanted people that have been taught that they are the children of Israel. No. She is the seed of Jacob. She is a descendant of one of those few that escaped from the kings of Israel, from the kings of Assyria. I'm correcting myself. She is one of those that escaped from the kings of Assyria. She's a descendant. She is not one of the transplants. She's not one of the seeds of the transplant seed that the king of Assyria transplanted into the land. She is a descendant of one of the ones that escaped from the kings of Assyria. She knows her history. We are the seed of Jacob, who is Israel. That's who I am. Messiah doesn't correct her. Let's see. Are you greater than our father? John chapter 4, verse 12. Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well? He's claiming to be a descendant of Jacob. And drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. Are you greater than him? Yeshua answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Give me some of that water so I don't get thirsty no more. Hey, I come back to this well. Yeshua said unto her, go, call thy husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Yeshua said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. What you just told me is true. I perceive that you are a prophet. You are a man of the Most High. Our fathers worship in this mountain. Now she's saying, our fathers, she's claiming to be the seed of Jacob, worship in this mountain. Now she's claiming she's doing the same thing that her forefathers did. They worship up in the mountain, up in the high places, where the Most High told them not to worship. Solomon did it. All the kings did it, but Josiah and Hezekiah. They worship up in the high places. This woman is saying, our fathers worship in this mountain, in the high places. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. But we say we should worship in the high places. You say in Jerusalem is where men ought to worship. He's following after the tradition that didn't leave out of the northern kingdom. They refused to leave the northern kingdom. They laughed the Most High to scorn. They caused the remnant of their people to be left in, to be left cast out, to be cut off. And they are continuing to say they fear Yah, but they continue to worship other Elohim. This is who she is. But she's a direct descendant of Jacob. She is an Israelite. She's a Hebrew Israelite. And she's saying, we say we worship in this mountain. You say the only place to worship is in Jerusalem. What does Messiah say to her? Say it unto her. Yeshua says unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither worship neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You think you worship him up in this mountain? The people in Jerusalem think they worship him, worshiping other deities in his house? The time is going to come where you ain't going to be worshiping him in that mountain or at Jerusalem. You worship, you know not what. You up in that high mountain thinking you worshiping the Most High, worshiping all these other deities. You don't know what you worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. The Most High wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth, not in a lie, not from the imaginations of our own mind, but in truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah cometh. How did she find that out? She found that out from the 70 that came through, or two at least of the 70 that came through, and told her that Messiah was here. Messiah was coming, which is called Christ, which is called HaMashiach. Come, he will tell us all things. Now, here is where you got to pay particular attention to. The children of Judah, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the elders, the scribes, they kept asking him, who are you? Tell us plainly who you are. He says, I've already told you, you didn't believe me. So if you don't believe me, who I say that I am, believe the works. They still didn't believe him. Look what he tells this woman. We know, I know that Messiah coming. Think about this. If this is a Gentile, if this is a heathen, if this is not a Hebrew Israelite, Messiah just reveals himself to a heathen and not one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, because he came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He didn't come to the heathen. That's scripture. Yeshua said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that's going to reveal all things to you. He tells her exactly who he is. And not just her. Yeshua said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples. Now look, now remember, the Samaritans don't have anything to do with one another. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. You have the mind said, hey, what are you doing talking to that Samaritan woman? We don't have no dealings with them. Yet no man said, what speakest thou? And why talkest thou with her? What you looking for in her, from her? Why are you talking to her? They didn't say that. The woman then left her water pot and went away into the city and saith unto the man, come, see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now he already told her who he was. He's trying to convince these men that this is Messiah that was promised to them. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. You were tired. We went and got some meat. We brought it back. We're going to cook it up. You need to eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. To be our own. This is also supposed to be what drives us. Hear what he says. I have meat to eat that you know not of. What is the meat that he has? Therefore said one of his disciples, has any man brought him out to eat? Any man brought him anything to eat? What meat he didn't eat? They don't understand still. Yeshua said unto them, my meat, my food, my energy is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's what fuels me. That's what motivates me. That's what gives me my strength. That's what has to be for us. The same rationale. Our meat is to do the will of the Father. Commandment. That's exactly what Messiah did. Say you not that there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. They're in Samaria. Look upon the fields, the city, the people. They are already ripe. They are already ready to harvest, Judah. And he that reapeth these, and he that reapeth receives wages and gathers the fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. His apostles haven't sown anything here, but they're going to reap the harvest. Somebody else has already sown here. And they are the ones that Messiah sent out two by two, the 70. to go into every city wherein he would go. Ahead of him, they are the ones that have sown into these cities. But his apostles are going to be the one that reap. And here is the same truth. One soweth and another reaps. I sent you to reap that whereupon you bestowed no labor. You didn't sow here. But I'm going to send you to reap here, to gather in the harvest. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labor. Now, again, if these are Gentiles, then the gospel would have come to the Gentiles at this point. And it would have come to the Gentiles before it ever came to Israel, Judah. But this is not so. Messiah is going to first give the Holy Spirit his disciples who are from the southern kingdom. And then he's going to use his own brethren that won't be converted to chase around the convertees so that they bring the gospel and the disciples come and reap here where they have not sown. They had none sown here. He says, you're going to reap from the labors of other men. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, teaching them, bringing the gospel to them. These are the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I must needs go to Samaria. That's the reason I came. And the lost sheep of the house of Israel are but a remnant. They are a remnant. He didn't go all over the world looking for all those people that have been cut off. Nope. This is where I'm coming to give the gospel to. This is the people that I came to give it to. But it's going to start first at Jerusalem. And I'm going to teach them to come and follow the true and living Elohim, to walk in his way. And many more believe because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because you're saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ or Hamashiach, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days he departed there and went into Galilee. Galilee of the Gentiles. Galilee was the northern part above Samaria because the Romans came in and conquered the region. They didn't rename Samaria. They conquered the northern part of Samaria and renamed it Galilee. And in Isaiah, you hear and read of the prophecy of Galilee of the Gentiles. It's dealing with the northern kingdom still, but a conquered northern kingdom that's being ruled by the Romans. When Messiah comes, Galilee is part of the Roman Empire. Nazareth is part of the Roman Empire. For Yeshua himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. Messiah and the Most High are looking at these. This is the northern kingdom that I had the people driven out of. But this is the Most High's land. His brothers and that he had, that Joseph had with his mother Mary, they are living in Nazareth, in Galilee, a Roman province. All of his disciples are Galileans. They are Jews living in a Roman province. But he was born in Judah, Bethlehem, the house of David. So he has rightful claim to the throne. He has rightful claim to say, I am a Israelite. I grew up in Galilee of the Gentiles. But my birth is in Bethlehem. So we can see that our people, even when Messiah came, they were still practicing the ways of the heathen. They were not worshiping the Most High in truth. They're not worshiping him in truth, nor in spirit. That is still happening today. People are saying that they're worshiping the Most High. They don't obey his voice. They don't keep his commandments. They don't keep his statutes, his laws, his ordinances, his judgments. They say they fear him. They say they worship him, when in fact they continue to worship other gods. And so we got to understand, if we want to remove the spot, Messiah came and said, I died. I came and gave my life to redeem you from sin, to wash your garment clean. And if you do something against me ignorantly, you can come and confess. Once you have come to me and you know who I am, you know that I died for you and you are baptized into my name, you receive the Ruach HaKodesh, you are without spot. You are without wrinkle or any such thing. But when you go back and you willfully sin, you put a spot or a wrinkle or something back on yourself. You disqualify yourself from being, for lack of a better word, the bride of Messiah. You disqualify yourself because you go back and you put a spot or a wrinkle back on yourself. He says, I'm coming for a bride or a church without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing. He died that we might have the spot removed from us. I'm telling you, now go get dirty again, because he's a merciful and a gracious God. He will forgive you. All you got to do is confess. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 26. And we'll stop here. A little bit. We actually going to be even a little bit. No, it's after. Good grief. Woo-wee. I got caught up. Time got away from me. So we'll stop here on today. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 31. For if we sin willfully, not ignorantly, but willfully, meaning that we know what we are doing, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. What Messiah came and did for you, don't apply. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy, two or three witnesses. How much sore, how much worse punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of Elohim and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Most I said, I extended grace to you. I never forgave willful sin. Now, in Messiah, one time, I'm going to extend grace to you and forgive your willful sin. confess your willful sin, because you can't confess what you don't know. What you know had to be willful because you confessed it. Oh, yeah, I knew I did that. I'll forgive you for it. Now, learn of my ways, and that which you transgressed in ignorantly, when you learn that it is sin, confess it. And I am true and just to forgive you. I'll remove the spot from your dress. I'll remove the spot from your garment. I'll iron out that wrinkle or anything else that you've done that you spilt on the dress, your garment you fell in, whatever. I will blot it out. I'll take it away from you because you didn't do it willfully. But if you did it willfully, I ain't taking that spot out. I ain't ironing that wrinkle out. I ain't getting that wine stain out, whatever. That's on you. So how much worse punishment do you think you deserve? Because now you knowingly sinned against me. For we know him that said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense. I will repay, saith Yah. And again, Yah shall judge his people. You've heard the saying, judgment starts where? At the house of the Most High. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living Elohim. Saying, you want to remove the spot? Messiah, remove the spot for us. You put the spot back. If you want to know how to qualify, you got to come to the Most High in spirit and in truth. And you got to keep the commandments. And perhaps, the Most High will have mercy. Maybe he'll have mercy. Maybe he'll say, when you learned the condition that you were in, you repented with your whole heart. You turned away from it. And I will have mercy on you. But you don't have to say that. That's why we have to remain always fearful and of a contrite heart. And walk before him in all his ways. And even if we do that, he might say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Because he's going to look at your heart. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you, Father, in the spirit of meekness. Understanding, Father, that you want us to obey your voice, to walk in all your ways, to not add to or take away from, not step to the left or to the right, but to do what you say do. And only what you say do. Father, give us a mind and a heart, a conscious and an unconscious heart to follow in all your ways. If there be error in us, Father, correct it. Clean the spots from us. Heart, to do thy will. From this day forward, that we will not walk in our own understanding, but that we will walk in yours. And perhaps, Father, perhaps you will be merciful unto us. And you will forgive our sins. And you will wash us whiter than snow. That we may be before you with a clean conscience. that we may approach the throne of grace and petition you for whatever it is that we need, and that you would move on our behalf. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. All right, so I hope that you can see that the problem we have is that we have fallen in and been captured and snared by the ways of the nation. No matter what nation we're in, whether it's in America, South America, the African continent, European theater, the Far East, the Middle East, doesn't matter. Those countries have their own laws which are contrary to the laws of the Most High. They have their own ways that are contrary to the ways of the Most High. They have their own God that they have always worshipped. And they've heard of the Most High, and they fear him, but they still serve their own God. We as his children, we who say we follow the Most High, have to understand that it is he and he alone that we must follow. We must examine our lives, and if there's anything that we are doing that is serving another Elohim, whether we were doing it consciously or unconsciously, we have to consciously put it down. We have to consciously repent of it and turn away, never to return to that again or find it acceptable, never to say, oh, it's okay for you, but it's not for me. It's not okay for anybody. If it's wrong, it's wrong, and you have to say it's wrong. People will think that, oh, it's okay by you, I do this, but it's not okay. So remember that we are going to be celebrating the new moon on Monday the 19th. Come and celebrate with us. Be obedient unto the Most High. If you go and look up New Moon on the internet and you find out all these crazy things that people are associating with the New Moon, understand that we're not doing that. We are following strictly out of the scriptures. It is our Elohim that has commanded that we do this. So shall we do it. Understand that most of us are broken. And without the help of the Most High, we cannot do this. We depart on today. I'm going to play this song. And let each of you contemplate within yourself where you stand.
wash me from within. Restore me, put it in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. You don't desire, but a broken heart, a prayer.
Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.
Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. You created the world and the universe, and everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't?
Enjoy the rest of your day. See you on this evening.
Amen.